Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour, a weekly broadcast with one goal in mind, to bring people into a closer walk with God. For more than 30 years now, the Christian Worship Hour has proclaimed the good news of the gospel to those who are lost and provide hope and encouragement to Christians all across America and around the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you again to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by. God's brought us on our way, and here we are all over the world. We're going to gather around the throne of God. And I have a very special message today that is rejoicing in old age. And so if you know some shut-ins or you know some people that are in advanced years, and somebody may be in the hospital or in a nursing home or whatever, just give them a ring or try to have them tune us in. And I just know you're going to be blessed by this service. And you young people, you say, well, it won't be anything for me. But you know, if God is good to you, you'll be in old age too. And so you can get some good ideas and you can see how you can live a better life by looking at your elders. And so all of you stay tuned. We're going to have a wonderful time together. We're looking at Psalm 148 today. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all the stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Heavenly Father, we just marvel when we think of how your very words, just your words, you made something out of nothing. And all of the mountains and all of the seas and all of the rivers and all of the people, and they were just by the word of your mouth, O God. And so we just thank you that we can bow and worship you. And we pray today, Lord, for all of those who are our shut-ins and those who can't get around and those of advanced age. And we just pray that you'll specially bless and encourage them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank is with us here, faithful Hank. And he's going to sing a song, The Longer I Serve Him. And God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the longer I serve him. I said the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Well, thank you, Hank, and we can sure say an amen to that. And, you know, if you've been a Christian any number of years, you'll say, yes, that's right. The longer I serve him, the longer I walk with him, the sweeter he grows. And I can surely say that because I walked with Jesus 85 years. And that doesn't mean that I've always been good and I've never sinned. I've got plenty of sins, but they're all under the blood of the Lamb. They'll never be remembered again. They'll never be have to face them again. But I can tell you that if you don't love Jesus, it's because you don't know him. To know him is to love him. And he becomes more precious and he becomes more real. And today we're going to be thinking about talking especially to people in an older age and how that Jesus is there to carry us and to help us and to make us joyful in old age. Just stay tuned. Tell your friends to join us. Now we want to read some letters, and we just thank you for the letters. We get so many, and we get really nice letters. Once in a while, we get somebody that's upset about something, and so we just pray for them and then just keep it going. We just thank you for writing, and we thank you for supporting this ministry. You know, you're sending your gifts, and it keeps us on the air, keeps us going, so we can proclaim the wonderful news of the Lord. And I want to read some of these letters. And by the way, before I read them, we're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 3. So you can look that up, locate that. I know some of you have your Bible, you get all dressed up for church and you sit in your chair and you just come like you're coming to worship service. And some of the friends come in and you all sit together and worship the Lord. And so you can get Philippians chapter 3. That's what we'll be looking at. But our first letter we want to read is from Fargo, North Dakota. And this is a gentleman, and they write, I'm sending you this check because I have sold some property. I appreciate you preaching the cross, Jesus crucified, Jesus, the face of God in this life. The modern church, most of it is lost, either steeped in secular humanism or religious self-righteousness. Keep preaching to a dying world, Brother Salem, and we'll continue to help your ministry. I marvel at what you can do at your age. I pray for you. I'll close now. We'll see you on the other side, yours in Christ. And I thought, that isn't that a beautiful way? I'll see you on the other side. So many times I'll say, I'll see you over there. And here it says, I'll see you on the other side. And there's another side. And it's a beautiful, glorious side. On this side, we have a beautiful earth, but it's all hurt by sin and wickedness. And we're going to get on the other side, and there's no sorrow, and there's no parting, and there's no tears. And Jesus, face to face, not through a glass darkly, face to face. Oh, won't that be wonderful? And I, so many times here, we're having our worship services that we give all out to the world. And we wonder who is watching and who are they and what do they look like and what are they doing? And we're going to meet you. We're going to see you. And won't that be a great get-together time? Meet you on the other side. Here's one, Crystal Lake, Illinois. My sister and I listen to you every Sunday. We are 97 and 95 years of age and are blessed by your services. You preach from the Bible. And here they are. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're always thrilled with the Word of God. And it becomes more precious. Jesus becomes more precious. Here is St. Paul, Minnesota. And this is a young lady, a daughter, and she writes in about her dad. And he hasn't accepted the Lord. And she says, what can I do? How can I talk to him? And I said, well, you pray, and I'm going to send you Steps to Peace with God by Billy Graham Organization. And you share that with him and see if he won't open himself to the Lord. And so this is what I got. This is the letter I got. I prayed, and I said, oh, yeah, just pray for the right time. She says, I prayed for the right time, and guess what? My dad received Jesus as his Lord and Savior on January 17th, 2016. I used the Billy Graham booklet you sent me. he did tell me he heard of him and that he was good. So I think that helped, not to mention all your prayers. And so we just, I'm going to tell you, friends, the hardest people to talk to is your own folks. The hardest man I witnessed to is my own dad. And eventually dad did come to know the Lord, and I'm going to see him in heaven. He was a good man, but he didn't know Jesus, see? And so when this daughter has this burden, goes to her dad, and now his name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, his sins are washed away, and she'll be with him forever. Oh, isn't that beautiful? That's the gospel. I get excited every time I think about the gospel. I love to preach the gospel because there's hope. There's always hope until you cross over that divide, until on the other side of the grave, then it's all settled. You're in or you're out. You're with the Lord or you're not. But on this side, it doesn't matter what your sins are. You can come to Jesus. And isn't that beautiful? Here's San Ramon, California. And they just have a little note. They said, God bless you for bringing Jesus into my home. You know how we do that? Preach the Bible. Teach the Bible. Sing about the Bible. Talk about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and He goes into homes, and He goes into hearts, and He says that the Word of God is sharp than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of spirit and soul and the joints and marrow of the body. It is sharp, and that's where the power is. That's where in the Word of God. I always tell young pastors, preach the Bible. Then you can preach with authority. And here's some people saying, here, you brought Jesus into our home. How'd we do that? Word of God, the Spirit of God. That's all. We really didn't do anything but just use the Word of God. Here is Sherwood, North Dakota. How I wait for your service on Sunday at 10 o'clock. What a blessing your message is. Since I am over 100, look at that, I read that twice. I said 10? No, 100. Since I'm over 100, they won't let me drive. Well, the bums. And she says, my vision is bad. Well, maybe there's a reason for that. But anyway, listen to her. But with the TV, they can't take that away. She's got a little spunk to her. She's 100 years old. And they can maybe take her car, but they're not going to take her TV. God bless her. That is beautiful, see. She says, they can, my TV. Can't take that away. God bless you and all your workers. So good to hear songs we used to sing. Bring us the truth. We need to hear it with love. Won't I be glad to see her someday in heaven? Won't that be something? 100 years old and just as spunky as they come. That's a spirit. Here's Meadow Bridge, West Virginia, and she's writing, I'm French, and how nice it is, it will soon be preaching to La Bonne Nouvelle in Paris. Yeah, it's as many other places in Europe needs the gospel. Sad, sad, love in Christ. And so she's writing from West Virginia because we are on Daystar. And Daystar has just opened up Paris, France, and that will be 5.5 million homes. And isn't that wonderful to hear the good news of the gospel and pray that many, all of them, will come to know Jesus. Jefferson City, Missouri, your church is great. It reminds me of a little Christian church I attended when I was a child, where I first believed in Jesus and got saved in Vacation Bible School. Listen to this. Saved in Vacation Bible School when I was 5 years old. And she's now 60 or 80, 60 or 70, she says. Thank you and God bless you. I'm praying for you. And I'm going to tell you, we have people say, oh, these children, they can't make a decision for the Lord. And you have to wait until they're teenagers or something like that, or until you have special training, and then you train them, and they'll train them for years and years, and then they can accept Jesus. And you know, that's a bunch of malarkey if there ever was. I was 10 years old and slow for my age, and I accepted the Lord. And here's one's 5 years old, and I've got a daughter 5 years old accepted Jesus, and she's walking with Jesus today. So don't you come around me, tell me the children don't understand. And the children, if the children can love their parents, the children can love Jesus. And so you have them listen to our services, because there's nothing fancy about our church. Our services, we're just down home. We're just out here in them, way out here in South Dakota, and you don't even know where South Dakota is. Half of the South Dakotans don't know where they're at, but that doesn't matter. We're happy, and we're just talking about Jesus, and children can hear about Jesus. Now I have one more, and this is Elmwood, Wisconsin, and writes and said, I go to church each Sunday with you in memory of our old-fashioned pastor. Well, I guess I'm 94. I'll be 95 in June if I live that long. And that's old-fashioned. I'm not just, you know, another generation. I'm from another century. I'm from the last century. And so she says, old-fashioned pastor, you got it. Bible preaching, that's church. My son on his deathbed opened his eyes and out of the blue asked his sister, do you have the anvil? He was a great reader and had a hard time to figure out the question. Now we know. Again, thank you for every Sunday service where you tell us that the anvil is God's word. And that's what it is. It's just like the old blacksmith, and he has this anvil, and all around the anvil there's a lot of hammers, and they're all beaten up and they're all worn out. And they ask him, how many anvils have you had anyway to wear out all those hammers? And the blacksmith said, just one. The anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And the hammers are those that are disputing the Bible, and they're against the Bible, and they're the atheists, and there's the ones that don't want God, and they hit the Bible as hard as they can, and they all disappear, but the anvil, God's word, just as sturdy as ever, never, doesn't even have a niche out of it. So you can believe it. See, that's why we know that we're accomplishing something, because we're using the anvil. We're using God's word. So we thank you for the letters, and I hope more of you will write to us, and I hope that you'll help us with your gifts, because the only income we have is from God's people. We don't have any denomination or organization or corporation. We just have God's people. And so if you just pray and say now, well, dear Lord, do you want me to help these people? Do you think this is something worthwhile, Lord? You pray about it. And then you write to us, and it's the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy. It's box 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And there's only one Aberdeen in South Dakota, so you write to us and we'll get your gift. Now maybe you're away. We just got a letter just a couple of days ago from Japan. And you're in Japan, or you're in China, or we've heard from Germany also. And so you say, oh boy, I'd like to send something, but I don't know how to, I never know how to get the money there. Let me tell you a little secret we got. You get on that computer, and if you don't know how to get it, you get some young person, get on the computer, and you find ChristianWorshipHour.com, ChristianWorshipHour.com. On there, it'll say donate, and you punch that donate, and then it'll say PayPal, and that means you're going to pay your pals. And we're going to take that money and we're going to buy radio and shortwave radio, television and shortwave time. And we're going to go all over the world with the gospel. And so you just think about it and give as God leads. And then one other thing I want to mention is we have a little paper that we put our little Bible study called The New Song. And every month it's a different study. Now this month of April, we're talking about a pastor's prayer for his people. What am I praying for you people that are listening? And it's a little Bible study on it, and I know you're going to like it. And so you just write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then let me say quickly this too. We have a little booklet, a 10 or 12 page booklet, and it tells you how you can be sure of your salvation. Can I know I am saved? Or can I lose my salvation? Just write salvation if you want that little booklet. Send a gift if you can. If you don't have anything, we'll send it anyway. So we just count on you to help us. So now I'm going to pray, and then Jan's going to play, and then you give as God lays on your heart, and everything will come out just fine. So Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful people that have supported this work now for almost 38 years. And thank you for those who are going to do it right now. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, and thank you, Jan. Appreciate your ministry of music. We're reading from Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. And in our prayer today, we're going to pray for the believers in Jordan. But let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained, St. Paul is writing this, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. And Heavenly Father, that's our prayer also, that we'll forget those things that are behind, because they're all under the blood. And all of those sins and all of those failures we've had, they're all washed away. And we're told in a wonderful scripture, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And old prophet Isaiah told us that you spoke through him and said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so all of the past is gone. And now we live in the present and we look forward. We look to you. Our eyes are upon you, dear Jesus. And we want to be like you and we want to serve you in all the days of our life. And especially in old age, we can still serve. We're not set aside. We're serving. We're growing. We're bearing fruit in old age. Oh, God. You use us until our work is done, and then you take us home, and not until. And now, Lord, we pause to pray for our brothers and sisters in the country of Jordan. And we know that they are being persecuted, some put to death, oh God. And to those who are put to death, we rejoice because they're in your presence. They wear the martyr's crown. They'll wear that, and we'll see them someday who laid down their life for you. But we pray for those left behind, the widows, the old grandmothers and grandpas, and the little children, the poor little children, oh God, who have no sins and can never hurt a soul, and yet they have to suffer. But you know, Lord, you have a purpose. There's a reason for all these things, and someday you're going to put an end to it, and the suffering will be all gone because we'll be in the presence of the Lord. So bless those brothers and sisters in Christ in the country of Jordan. Now, Lord, bless this service. Use it to speak to many hearts. To those who do not know you, we pray they'll all swing open their life to you today. And to those, Lord, who are Christians, but maybe in old age and having some tough times, help them to see that they are here because you were using them. And let them be used of you. So bless us in this service. All praise to Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. And now Barb has got a song. I know you're going to love it. The Savior is waiting. God bless you, Barb.
Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see. To you take one step toward the Savior, my friend, you'll find His arms open wide. Receive Him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart He'll abide. Time after time He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see
Thank you, Barb. God bless you for that message. And that's the message of the Christian Worship Hour. We want you to have Jesus in your life. And I'm going to be preaching a message here on the rejoicing in old age. And there may be some of you watching today and you're in old age and you've never accepted Jesus. And you're on thin ice, my friend, because at any moment you could go. And after death, the judgment. And if you don't have Jesus, God have mercy. That's all I can say. And I know when you get old, it isn't easy to change. And you get like a mutt in a rut, and you're just not going to change. You've been that way for 80 years, and you're not about to budge now. But you better think about it. And you know, the chance of people, older people coming to the Lord, not as good as the children coming to the Lord, but old people can come to the Lord. And during this service today, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, we're going to close with asking you to pray that prayer. You pray it. You need the Lord. But I want to talk about this matter of rejoicing in old age. And, you know, I preached about old age for a lot of times over my ministry, 72 years of preaching now. And so I've talked about that before. But I didn't really know really too much about it. You see, when I started preaching, I was 23 years old, but now I'm just almost 95. Well, I used to preach 23 years old. You know, I just spoke from observation. Now, hitting 95, I'm preaching from experience, so I know what I'm talking about. And I think about my ministry. I started out, you know, 23 years old. And everybody said, well, don't go to him. He's young. He doesn't know anything. And now I'm 95 years old, and I hear him saying, don't go to him. He's so old, he don't know anything. And I don't know. I guess probably they were right both times. But I know one thing. I'm happy in the Lord. And in my old age, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And so I want to talk about that today. One reason that I'm preaching about old age is because old age is the fastest growing group in America. That is, those 100 years and over are the fastest growing group in America. Those that are 100 and over. USA Today reports baby boomers are the first generation in American history whose average member will live in their 80s. And the United States Census Bureau says the avalanche of octogenarians is approaching. The United States Census Bureau goes on to report in 1900, there were 9 million Americans 80 or older. In 2025, they say, there will not be 9 million, there'll be 15 million. And they suggest that also forecast that in 2050 there will be 31 million people 80 and over. And so senior citizens are with us. And it's another surprising thing that I read was in the USA Today, 4 out of 5 aged 80 are living in the community and not in nursing homes and retirement homes. 4 out of 5. So they're all over the place. And so we have to see, well, what does God say about old age? The first thing I put down is God honors old age. The world doesn't. The world despises old age. God honors old age. Listen, old age is a gift from God, not a curse. Listen to what God says about old age. In Proverbs 16, verse 31, it says, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by righteous life. God says that gray head is beautiful. Society says, ugh, it's ugly. And it's interesting kind of life. I think the lights were maybe on my silver hair. And I got a letter from one fellow, and he says, I'm praying for your bald head that you'll grow some hair. So I said, you better get another TV set, brother. I got hair. I may not have brains, but I got hair. And so that's just the way it has appeared to him. But God says it's a crown of splendor. Proverbs 9, verse 11 says, for by me your days will be multiplied, and life, years of life will be added to you. In other words, the years of life will be added means that God's given you gifts. If you have old age and you're in old age, it's a gift from God. Don't despise it. And in Isaiah 46 and verse 4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. And so this wonderful God says, and I'm seeing it all the time, because as I put on my age, I don't get around. I don't jump around like a grasshopper like I used to. I couldn't jump rope if you give me $1 million. I wouldn't even try jumping rope. I wouldn't even think about it for $1 million, jumping rope, you know. But God has said, I'm going to take care of you. I'll sustain you. Don't you get nervous. Don't you get worried about old age. You got a bum leg? Well, you got a good leg, stand on it. Well, yeah, I guess that's a good idea. Got two of them, stand on the good one, not the bad one, see? So, and St. Paul, he talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, talks about old age. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart because we're growing old. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outward we are wasting away, you bet, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So get your eyes off of this garbage we're living in and put it on the throne of God, in the presence of God. Paul is saying, our body's going to deteriorate, some faster than others. But God says, don't fret and don't lose heart when those things happen, because inwardly you're becoming stronger. You become stronger in Christ. And he said, the psalmist said in Psalm 71, verse 9, he's worried about old age. And he says, do not cast me off in time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. And then God answers it. Psalm 37, 25, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. And again, the psalmist talks about it, and he says in Psalm 71 and verse 18, and even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare thy strength to this generation, thy power to all who are to come. God has always been faithful. God will always be faithful. And in spite of our weakness, he is there. And the inward man is coming stronger all the time. And I'm not getting closer to the grave. I'm getting closer to heaven in my old age, Buster. And so don't despair and don't fret around. Maybe you do have some aches and pains. Who doesn't? Even some of the young people, they have some aches and pains. And they have heartaches when they're trying to figure out who they're going to marry. And they got just the right one and she turns him down and he wants to die. I've seen them drop out of college and drive because the love of their life walked off with somebody else. They got their sorrows and their troubles too. All of a society has it. Except in old age, we have our certain ones. We have a little different type of thing. But it's nothing new to have troubles and trials in this world. Jesus says in this world you're going to have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Get your eyes on Jesus, see? And so therefore, we are told to teach us to number our days in Psalm 90, that we may present our, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, he is with us and he talks to us and he tells us that we're not only living and he's not only taking care of us, but we are serving him in old age. Listen to Psalm chapter 92, verses 12 to 15. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. I've seen the cedars of Lebanon. And some of them are about 30 stories high. They say that when Abraham came into the promised land, the cedars of Lebanon were saplings. That's how old they are. He says here, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. Did you get that? They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green spiritually. Not the body, of course not. Warts and everything else. But that spirit becomes stronger. Like this lady, 100 years old, and they won't let her drive anymore. You know, the big bums. Well, anyway, her spirit is just strong in the Lord, and she's happy in the Lord. See? He says, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in him. So as long as we live, we are the Lord's, and we are to live for the Lord. And old age doesn't have a thing to do with it. St. Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And in Romans we read, for if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. And the big thing that we're looking forward is to being with the Lord. And don't worry about it. Paul says, I put all those things behind me. Paul had a terrible past. But they're all washed away in the blood of the Lamb. He says, I don't look at that. Forgetting those things which are behind, I look to press toward the mark. I look at Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. You know what? I read not too long ago about the Christians in the first century, and they buried their dead in the catacombs, underground catacombs. And they never put the date of birth, but they put the date of death. And you know why they did that? Because the big thing to them wasn't being born the first time. The big thing was when they went into the presence of God Almighty. That was the crowning day. And that's what we all look forward to, young or old, when we're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God honors old age. And the second thing I put in is the thing is God tells old people is never retire from God's work. We can always serve the Lord. We are to work the work, serve the Lord as long as we can. Now, you may have to get a different profession. All of you old bull riders, when you get to be about 75 or 80, you got to retire and do something else. So maybe you're doing some kind of a work. Maybe you're building skyscrapers, and you go up about 80 stories and walk on those beams. Well, if you're 90 years old, you don't want to be walking on a beam 95 stories in the air. You don't want to walk on a beam. If it's standing right on the ground, you don't want to walk on a beam. So you do something else. And what do? Well, you got your pension and you got your thing to live on. And so you serve Jesus. You give Jesus full time. Everything you have goes to the Lord full time. Every believer has that responsibility. And you can do some work if you want to do it, whatever you want to do, but always be active in the Lord's work, because that's what every one of us are here for. We are a purchased possession, and we are to serve Him. And so you just live for the Lord and walk with the Lord. And you know about this retirement thing. Where did this retirement thing come from anyway? You know where it started? In 1889, Germany's Otto Bismarck started this retirement thing. And he set the age just at 65, just took it out of the air, made it 65. In those days, the average person lived to be 55. So he's got it, they can retire at 65. See? So that works pretty slick for him. Well, then when you come to the United States, August 14th, 1935, I remember the day, I was 14 years old, and now they're talking about retirement. That's the last thing I have dreamed about, is retirement. Franklin D. Roosevelt, he made a decree, he signed the Social Security Act. And so when it came to time for retirement, he just copied old Bismarck, the Germans, and he says 65. Well, now they ain't dying at 55. They're dying at about 95. So you got a problem, a big problem. But when you come to the Bible, do you know what the Bible says? You know what the Bible says about having federal support in old age? Zero. Nothing. There is no provision made in the Bible for retirement at 65 or 95 or 105. The Bible teaches a lifetime work continues until we die. And that is for Jesus. That's for God. And if you don't have any money, then you can scrape around and make enough to live on. But if you have some retirement, then we're to serve the Lord. In the Bible, you look at the Levites, the Bible had the Levites. They're supposed to retire when they were 50. Numbers 8, verse 25. And so, but that doesn't apply to you or to me for one reason, but we're not a Levite. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, we're not a priest. So it leaves us out. But those people that retired, those priests that retired at 50, they stayed on to train the young priests, and they worked just as hard until they were to their dying day as they did when they started. There is no such thing as retirement in the Bible. Look at Abraham, a man of faith, became a father at age 100. He married a second wife. He had six sons. At 175, he breathed his last and died in a ripe old age, an old man and satisfied with life. And look at what it says. He was gathered to his people. Gathered to his people means that he had died and gone to be with his people. He'd gone with the people of God. But his work wasn't complete until he died. And God told Abraham that we're going to take our sweat and do our work from, because you were taken from the earth, and you're going to work in that earth, and you're going to sweat in that earth until you go back to the dust. There is no retirement. And so what I'm saying is that when you look at Moses, look at Joshua, and when you come to the New Testament, you see that in the New Testament, Zechariah, the priest, father of John the Baptist, St. Paul, John, all worked. They all were working for the Lord. And so they gave their life to Christ. And so as long as we live, we need to serve God in one way or another. Bear fruit in old age means this was not given to the young people. There should be bear fruit too, but it wasn't given to the young people. It wasn't given to the middle-aged. It was given to the old age. We are to work for the Lord. And why not work for the Lord? We have years of experience of walking with the Lord. We have years of experience of walking with God. Share that a little bit. Tell them from your heart what this thing is all about. Here's a kid, he's just accepting the Lord. Maybe he's 10, 12 years old. What does he know about walking with the Lord? But I've been with the Lord 85 years and not living a perfect life. I always make that plain. But I've walked with Jesus, and Jesus has been with me. I can tell him some things that he doesn't dream about. Well, share some of those experiences. We have a maturity that only the years can give us. And old age holds the wealth. And something else about old age, and listen to this. Old age holds the wealth of the land. That's where the money is with the old people. 77, I read in one place, 77% of all the assets of the United States are held by relatively few people, and few of them are, and many, most of them are over the age of 55. So if you have that money, use that money for the Lord's work and to help somebody. Stack it up and stack it up, and what are you going to do? Your wife will marry some young guy and they'll spend it all riotously. That's what they'll do. And then we have time to serve the Lord. The children are gone. Our daily job is gone. Time belongs to God, doesn't belong to us. And we can also do something else, dear friends. We can show young people how to die. We can tell them, I'm not afraid of death. David said that a long time ago. He says, I'm not afraid of death because thou art with me. He says, I'm not afraid to die because Jesus is with me. Well, you say Jesus wasn't with David. No, he wasn't. He wasn't born yet. But when Jesus came, he said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And he laid down his life for us, see. Now we can talk about that, and we can let people know that in our heart we do rejoice in Jesus, and we're looking forward to being with the Lord. We can let them see that our faith just radiates in our old age, and we're anxious to serve the Lord, and we're anxious to go home when the time comes. We can do all of these things. And so here's Zechariah, the priest of St. John's, his father. He had talked about the life. And Simeon, you remember when Simeon took Jesus after the days of purification, and they came to the temple, and the Holy Spirit told Simeon, now you get over to the temple, because God promised Simeon, he says, I'm going to let you see the Messiah. Before you die, you're going to get to see the Messiah. And old Simeon came over, and he took Jesus in his arms, and he held that baby in his arms, and he thanked God, now I've seen the Messiah, and I'm ready to go on home. See, talk about heaven. Talk. Don't be scared about death. There's nothing. Death can't scare you. Can only bless us, and so we can do all of these things. Well, you say, I'm a shut-in. I'm in bed. I can't even get out of bed. I can't get out of my chair. How am I going to do all these things? Well, you could, just as important as the guy running up 80-year-old out there on the golf course, wasting his time hitting that ball, banging that ball around, and he looks and looks for hours and hours, and he finds it. When he finds it, he hits it again. What is the future to that? Now, I know I'm going to get some golf players you're going to write in. That's all right. Play a little golf, but don't play it all the time. Get out there and do something for the Lord. But here's somebody there in the wheelchair. They can't get around, and they're in the bed. Well, you can be a witness right where you are. And the fact that you might be on a bed of sickness and you may be down and out, you can have that wonderful joy of knowing. You can let people know, I love the Lord. He's real to me. Talk to those nurses. Talk to those people that attend to you and take care of you. And don't be a grump and don't be a sourpuss, but shine for Jesus. Just shine for Jesus as long as you live. I read about George Whitefield. George Whitefield was a British evangelist about 250 years ago in England. And he preached several times in one day, and he was so tired he went to his room and he was preparing for bed. And they came upstairs and they said, Mr. Whitefield, there's a whole bunch of people here. They want to hear you preach. Can you come and preach? And Whitefield couldn't hardly walk. And he says, yes, I will. And I'm taking this candle. And I'm going to light this candle. And when the candle burns out, I'm going to have to go to bed. And he went down there and he preached an hour. And he went upstairs. And the next morning they found him. And he died on his knees. He gave everything he had to Jesus Christ. And that's what God expects of you, and that's what God expects of me. And don't you back down, because you are here for a purpose. You're not here just to be waited on. You're here to shine for Jesus. And there is joy in old age. I have been, the only time in my life that I've been happier than I am right now was when Beulah was here, my wife was here, and the children were home. Those were my best days, my most joyous days. But I am happy. I am happy in the Lord. I'm rejoicing, and I'm going to just give the Lord everything I got. And you need to do it too. But let me say, I'll tell you something. You can't give out something you don't have. And if you don't have Jesus, you can't talk about him. And so the first step you need to do, and I know some, and it's mostly men. I don't know why the women come first, but those men, they're just like a bump on a log. You're set in your ways. Now you just pray and ask Jesus, say, "Dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. I'm sorry for my sins, and I'm going to ask you to wash them away in your blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to serve you the best I can, dear Lord." And then you witness for others and tell others and give him everything you got. I don't know what your condition is. And I know some of you have pain and some of you have suffering. And if you do, your testimony will only be the brighter. Shine for Jesus. Now, if you want to help us in this work, we have to have your help. You have to write to us at Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you need to pray and say, do I think this is something of the Lord? And God will tell you. He'll tell you what to, if you should give, and he'll tell you how much to give. And then you follow him, and we get along just fine. So I'm going to pray for you now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all who have worshiped with us today. Thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for your holy word and the Holy Spirit that applies the word. And now I pray there'll be multitudes that will turn to you and that they can write to us, Lord, and we'll send them literature to help them get started in the Christian life. And so I just pray that you'll bless them. And so, Lord, I do pray for those who are having a tough time. They have old age, and they're hurting, and they have pains, and they're not going to be healed, and it is not going to get better. Some with cancer, just not going to beat it. But help them to love you and trust you and know that there's an eternal home where there is no suffering and no sorrow nor pain. And that you love us, and Lord, help them to know that the Christian Worship Hour loves them also. That's why we're in the work. We could be doing something else, but we're doing because we love them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're praying you're going to have a good week. Join us next week. We're going to have a time where we talk about the trials of life and how we come out as pure gold, and it's going to be encouraging. But write to us. We got it on the screen there. Don't forget to help us. We need your help. And those on the shortwave radio, you can hear where we hear from, just heard from Japan, from a man himself on a shortwave radio. You write to us, and we can pray for you. And then we'll send you literature if you've made a decision for Christ. And all over the world, we believe people are turning to Jesus, and people are taking heart. God bless you. God bless you, everyone. Amen.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, a weekly broadcast that provides strength for daily living found in the good news of the gospel. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. If it has, then write to us and let us know at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Be sure to join Dr. Salem again next week at this same time for the Christian Worship Hour.